Hello, and welcome to Countryside Community Church, a United Methodist Fellowship. My name is Jeff Warren, and it is great to be worshiping with you this morning. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'll be reading today from the Common English Bible. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the reign of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you've found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. They opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for all the gifts that you give to us and this chance to share again. We have gathered because we need to hear a word from you. And so, once again, we ask, dear Holy Spirit, that you would pour yourself out on us, that once again you would take the words of the scripture that we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them, breathe life into them, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So here we are, the last Sunday of our series on the Incarnation. We've worked our way through a number of those biblical titles that come from the stories of Jesus' birth. And the last one that we're going to take up as we bring the series to a close is that Jesus is Lord. Now, in a lot of ways, this brings us back to exactly where we started. Reminder that the Incarnation, this series we've done, is so that we can rediscover the significance of Christmas. And so as we gather here on this first Sunday of Christmas in 2020, we want to pull together, why is it that this holiday is so important? Why has this holy day, this holy season, become so important to not just our culture, but most specifically, the church? Why is so rich and deep about it that we keep coming back year after year after year? And as we think of this as the celebration of the Incarnation, we're reminded, again, as where we started this series of worship services, that Incarnation reveals God to us. Now, Incarnation means to become flesh, comes from the Latin. And we get that from John 1:14, as the Message translates it, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Incarnation means that God becomes real among us, one of us. We celebrated that on Christmas Eve at the candlelight service. Incarnation means to become flesh. But what incarnation does for us, or one of the things it does for us, is it reveals God to us. It shows us who God really is at heart. And so we come to this last title. Jesus is Lord. Right now, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, what they said to them was, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring you good news, wonderful, joyous news to all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord." He is Christ the Lord. And as we spend just a little time looking at that and what it means for Jesus to be the Lord, we see that not all lords are created equal. In Jesus' day, there was another Lord. His name was Herod. And if you remember in the text that we read today, when Herod got word that there might be another Lord, that there was a king who had been born, he was so upset that all of Jerusalem got upset. He was so disturbed at the notion that there might be another Lord to come and to threaten his authority, his power, that all of Israel was worked up, wondering just what he would do next. Because Herod was Lord, and Herod had power, and Herod had authority. And Herod had exercised that authority. Now, Herod is known in history as the Great. And part of the reason Herod is known as Herod the Great is because during his long reign, he had extensive building programs. Or, to put it in modern language, he really invested in the infrastructure of his nation. He built a number of aqueducts. He rebuilt and expanded the temple. He built several palace/fortress complexes. The best one is probably known as the Herodium, which was about 3 miles from Bethlehem. Herod was a lord who was known as Herod the Great because he had built all of these magnificent structures. He'd built them to defend his power. He'd built them to establish his legacy. He built them for Herod. Herod was intent on bringing Greco-Roman culture to the Holy Land. And Herod had no problem exercising his authority and doing whatever it took to defend it. The story of Herod's reign is also full of stories about who Herod had felt threatened by and what he had done to remove those threats, including a number of assassinations. Herod was Lord. But when the Magi came, when the wise men came to Jerusalem, said, "We have seen a star. We're looking for the King of the Jews." He was right to be afraid, because Jesus is Lord. But Jesus is a different kind of Lord. Herod the Great was all about holding on to his power. Herod the Great was all about building things that would make him famous. Herod the Great was all about building palaces and splendorous things for him to enjoy. But Jesus is a different kind of Lord. Herod lived in a great temple. Jesus was born in a stable. Herod was greeted and attended to by the great and powerful in Jerusalem. Jesus' birth was announced and celebrated by shepherds. Herod wanted to recreate his land in the image of Rome. Jesus wanted to restore his people to the image of God. And to be that kind of Lord, Jesus was willing to go to the cross for us and our salvation. Jesus was a completely different kind of Lord. But there's one thing that I want to end with as we think about Jesus as the Lord, is that Jesus as Lord requires that we're all in. As we lit the Advent wreath earlier in this time of worship, we heard again the words from Romans 6, right? That we once had been slaves to sin and death and destruction, and through Christ we have been set free of that. But that we have been set free for obedience. We have been set free to follow Jesus. Being all in is a common sort of phrase, particularly if you follow football at all. And for those of you who, like Sandra, her favorite part of the football season is when it's over, I apologize for this analogy, but it kind of fits. One of the conversations that the commentators have a lot is that a team has a culture. And when the team starts to buy into the culture, buy into how they're going to be as a football team, it's more than just the kind of offense that they run or the kind of defense they run, although it certainly does include that. It includes how do we go about this task of being a football team? Those who have been following the Washington football team have heard a lot of that kind of language about how the head coach Ron Rivera is establishing a new culture in that clubhouse, in that locker room, and how the guys are really starting to buy in. And in fact, there's a little bit of friction around maybe the starting quarterback is not really buying in all that much. We can think about buy-in as a phrase that United Methodist Bishop in Western Pennsylvania Conference used to use when things would get heated and when there'd start to be some argument about how they should proceed. He would often stop the body and say, "Friends, this isn't the only way to do this. And honestly, it may not even be the best way to do this, but it is our way. And so this is how we'll do this." Buy-in certainly includes that. But when we talk about Jesus as the Lord and that it requires that we're all in, what it's really talking about is that we are willing to bet our lives that Jesus' way is the best way, that Jesus' way is the only way, that Jesus' way is the way that leads us to life, to salvation, to be who God created us to be in the first place, before sin came and messed it all up. Jesus died for us and our salvation. And he presents to us the challenge. Come, pick up your cross and follow me. That's what it means when we celebrate Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. This is who God is revealed to be in the incarnation, when in Jesus Christ, God came to be with us, to be one of us, to die for us, and then to be raised again so that we could have new life in him. This is our hope. This is our joy. And this is our way of life. Because Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace. Amen. So this is the God that we serve. God invites us into a relationship of trust and obedience so that we might know true freedom. So we can go into our days absolutely fearlessly as we continue together to develop hearts for God in a spirit-filled community and to share God's love and grace throughout the world. Grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come.